Amen. Amen. Just remain standing and turn, if you will, Matthew chapter number 5. And I appreciate those songs. Amen. The congregational and the specials. We are blessed. Amen. One song said it, we are so blessed. And we definitely are. And we have so much to thank our God for, especially our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That He saved the likes of us. Amen. Amen. That He'd save anybody is amazing, but that He'd save somebody like you and me. Amen. And we can say, like another song says, I know Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean, for He saved the worst among you when He saved a wretch like me. Amen. And if He can save me, I believe He can save anybody. I believe He can save whosoever will, and I'm glad that He can, that He does. Most of you know my testimony. I didn't grow up in steeped in sin. I grew up in church. My dad announced call to preach when I was 7. That's when I first, as a matter of fact, Dad announced his call to preach in March. I turned 8 in April. But before that, back in the year before that, in 1974, when God started dealing with me as a sinner, and I recognized that I was lost without God. But I didn't get saved till I turned 8 years old, that in April there of 74. And thank God for saving me by His grace. Amen. But even though there's a lot of things I've never tried, never done, never experienced, and I thank God for it. I'm not bragging about it, but I'm giving God glory for it, that He rescued me from those things. But in spite of that, I know that those that have been chained by those things can be set free. Amen. Amen. They can be set free because the same God that delivered me can deliver them. Amen. And there's nothing too hard for our God. Amen. And I'm so glad that that is so. All right. Tonight I'm going to use a text that I used this morning. I'm not going to preach about the Beatitudes. I'm not going to preach about the Sermon on the Mount specifically. I've got a topical thought tonight and just a short thought. Then I'll throw out some ideas to you and give you some points. And then I need to meet with the men after the service. If we can, meet in the studio and talk with you about something. And we'll be praying about that. Then in the next few days. All right, so if you will, after the service, I need to meet with the men. And while the men are meeting, if the ladies want to sign up on the sheet, that's usually the ones probably do that. That'll be all right. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. I read verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying..." And I want to try to preach on a thought tonight from verse 2, really. He opened His mouth. I want to preach on some things that Jesus opened. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again tonight, Lord, for all.
Yes.
Thank You, Lord, for Your substitution.
Thank You, Jesus. Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Bless the Lord. Him there. Yes.
Thank You tonight, Lord, for what You've done on our behalf, and not only mine, but all those that love the Lord.
Yes.
Your vision, protection, Your watch care. Bless the preacher tonight, Lord, and the entire number of the church.
Yep.
And obviously, again, Lord, we have to join
us. Yes.
For our hearts to believe. Bless us, and we're thankful for You in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. Appreciate that prayer, and thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. Brother Hall mentioned about the prayers for Mrs. Hall. That's one thing when there's nothing else we can do, but as God's people, we can pray for one another, and there's strength in that. Matter of fact, if you've ever been down, you know that you can, sometimes it's almost as if you can feel the prayers of God's people as they're helping you and strengthening you day by day. And so I appreciate the fact that we can do that and hope that we'll continue to do that. Amen. And not be weary in well-doing in those things as well. All right. I said to you that I'm not preaching on the series there that we started last Sunday on the Sermon on the Mount. But when I started reading that, actually in the week this week, these thoughts started coming to me. I jotted them down over in the edge of the notes that I was taking for the sermon actually that I preached this morning. And I jotted these things down over on the side. And it just seemed like that the more I thought about it, the sweeter it was to me, the more that I felt like God would have me deliver it and maybe hopefully give you something that would be helpful to you. This phrase in verse number 2, "And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying..." As I said, the subject came to me, some things that Jesus opened. And I've written down seven things that our Lord has opened. I want to point out to you, I thought of some others in there, but these are specific that God gave me to think on. Now, these are not alliterated as I try to do a lot of times, but these are just thoughts. The first one's right here in our text. And he opened his mouth. There was a time when he opened not his mouth. When he's standing before Pilate and he's being accused, when he's standing before Herod and he's being accused, he opened not his mouth. Isaiah said that as a lamb going to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He could have opened his mouth, and as one song said, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he opened not his mouth. But I'm glad for the times that he did open his mouth. For the times and the fact that our Lord was willing in the days of his life, in the days of his ministry here on earth, even in those days when he was terribly busy. This, I said to you this morning, was at the height of his popularity. I mean, they're bringing him sick folk by the multitudes. They're bringing him lame and blind and halt and maimed and all kinds of different problems. They're bringing them to our Lord. And yet our Lord was willing to take time, if I could say it this way, out of his busy schedule to gather his disciples together and open his mouth and teach them some things. Amen. There's a lot of things going on in the world. You think about, we know about some things we just hear on the news. We think about ISIS acting up. We think about trouble in the Middle East, the Palestinian uprising. We think about Syria and the problems going on over there. We think about the safety and the peace of Jerusalem and things that are going on there. If you want to say God's busy about a lot of things, but I'm glad he's interested enough in me and you that we can go to the house of God on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, and Jesus Christ will open to us and give us something that will strengthen us and help us down the road. Amen. If you've ever, I'm sure you have, been times that in your busy work schedule, or your just busy life schedule, that you felt like you just needed something from God. And maybe you just barely able to drag yourself into the house of God and sit down on a pew, and it seemed as if the very song they sang, or the very testimony they told, or the very message from the Word of God was exactly what spoke to your heart. You know what that is? That's Jesus opening his mouth and teaching us. That's him helping us. He's still interested in helping people. Now, here's what I wrote this down. He was friendly in an unfriendly world. Amen. He was helpful to a hurting world. He was willing to teach an ignorant world. And he's still willing to open his mouth to those that will open their ears to hear what he's got to say to us this day. Amen. So he opened his mouth. Then secondly, over in Luke chapter number 4, and I have these consecutive in the scripture except for one. I've got one that's out of order. But Luke chapter 4 and verse number 17. If you know the book of Luke, you know that chapter 4, our Lord, of course it begins with a temptation, but he's back in Nazareth at his hometown, and he goes to the synagogue as was his custom. The Bible talks about there, verse number 14 and down through there, verse number 16, how his custom was. He came to the temple, but look at verse number 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, amen. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, the thought that came to me there, jumped out, of course, is that he opened the book. If our Lord's going to help us today, he does not necessarily help us with dreams and visions. Amen. He does not necessarily help us with some people say, a word of knowledge. Just boom, out of the blue. Most of the time, and I'll say that in these days, he'll give you something from the Word of God. He'll open the Bible. He'll open the book. Now, as I said, it may be in a song or it may be in a testimony, but even in that, it will come from the book the Word of God. Amen. And so I'm glad our Lord's words are not just His own words. They're the words of God. Amen. They are His words. They're the very words of the Bible. Amen. This present text reveals Christ was willing to stand in a synagogue. He was willing to stand in His hometown where He'd be without honor and tell them the wonderful words of life. Amen. Amen. He read the Word of God, and then the next verse says He closed the book and sat down. All the eyes were fastened upon Him. I noticed this. I never noticed it before. I don't know how many times I read Luke 4, and I preached from it a number of times. But I noticed that our Lord stood to read and sat down to teach. And I thought, well, you know, I have you stand to read, and then you sit down for me to teach and preach. I don't sit down, but I don't know if I'd have the lungs to be able to do that. But our Lord did that. But He stood, and here's what the thought that jumped out at me. It's almost as if, I know He stood, and that was that they might bring the book to Him. But also, of course, it was a scroll. We know that it was a scroll that they would open up, probably on a table, maybe on an elevated table, that like something we'd call a pulpit, which they would stand and read that scripture. But He stood up to let them know that He was willing to read, that He wanted to read. But also, I imagine He stood up to honor the Word of God, because He has exalted His Word even above His name, the Bible says. Amen. And He honors the very Word of God. But He stood up and He opened up the book. He opened His mouth, and when He opened His mouth, it came from the open book, the Bible. And I'm glad He was willing to expound those things to those that were listening. Now He said to them, He's reading out of Isaiah, and He said to them, "This day, this is fulfilled in your eyes." Let me read on down and see if I can find that. In verse number 20, "And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Our Lord Jesus was the living embodiment of the Word of God. He was a living embodiment of the promise of God. All the promises of the Old Testament were wrapped up in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Amen. They were wrapped up in the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The promises of the kingdom, the promises of redemption, all the promises of God are wrapped up in this one man. But He was the Word of God incarnate. And He revealed that to them when He opened the book. Amen. Turn on to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter 24. Is the third one. And it's so similar. You remember this is after the resurrection. It's actually the day of the resurrection. Luke 24 verse 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre." And you know the story that they ran and told that Jesus wasn't there. Some said He's risen. But there was two disciples walking away from Jerusalem, walking towards Emmaus. He's on the road to Emmaus, walking along. And the Lord revealed Himself to these two disciples along the way. Amen. And He began to talk with them. And He began to tell them. Look at verse number, let me back up here and find verse number, verse number 19. Let's go back there. Verse number 9. Well, let's go back to 18. "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, 'Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that are come to pass there in these days?'" By the way, they didn't recognize Him. The Bible says their eyes were holden, that they should not recognize Him. But He'd also been beaten beyond recognition. Amen. Before the cross, and then even as He's on the cross, His body was so marred beyond human visage. And so they didn't recognize Him. All right, verse number 19. "And He said unto them, 'What things?' And they said unto Him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of their company, of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Look at verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now you've got open eyes, but you've got open scriptures, and I want to pay notice to the open scriptures that are there. It'd do you no good. And by the way, your eyes would never be open if it weren't for the scriptures being open unto you.
Right.
Amen. But he opened the scriptures. I said earlier that he opened the book. And in the case of our Lord, this case, he's no longer in a synagogue. He's no longer in a sanctuary. He no longer has a book, physical book that he can open. No, amen. He's not on a mountain as he had been in the first one there in Matthew 5. He's not got the multitudes gathered around him. He's not got these whole gang of disciples. It's only two. Two lowly disciples. Now here's what's interesting to me. He did it with a crowd on the mountain. I don't know how many was in the synagogue, but I would think that it was probably a pretty crowded synagogue in that day, as was the Jewish custom to gather in on the synagogue. So he had a crowd. But here, he's interested in two lowly disciples that are concerned. Amen. As I said, he didn't have a book to open, but he had the book. He began at Moses. That's Genesis. He began at the beginning. And went through the prophets. Amen. That's the whole entire Old Testament. And he pointed out the things that should happen to Christ. He had the book in his mind. He had the book in his heart. Now, they had to have some understanding of the book too. They had to have some understanding of Moses and the prophets and the things that he'd said. Amen. But he pulled from his memory. He pulled from the memory banks of the scriptures that have been placed in his heart and that have been hidden in his heart. God's predestined plan that God had made, the plan had been made that he was going to offer his son on Calvary for the sins of mankind. Amen. That this wasn't something that the Romans had cooked up to defeat the Jews. No, this was God's plan to defeat the devil all along. Amen. And all these events that surrounded them. And so he opened the scriptures. Amen. The scriptures opened their eyes that they could see what he was talking about. Amen. Now turn to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Verse number 14. Here's a situation where Paul and his group have gathered on a creek bank, on the banks of a river to preach and tell about Jesus. All right, Acts 16, verse number 14. The Bible said, And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. They heard the singing and the preaching. Now look here. Whose heart the Lord opened. Hallelujah. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Amen. So you see here, our Lord not only opened his mouth, he not only opened the book, and he opened the scriptures, and he opened eyes, but he opened the heart of the one that could believe. Amen. I believe this follows here, just like the others. The others talk about how their hearts burned. Amen. Their hearts burned when he opened the scriptures unto them. In other words, the Word of God does not just speak to our flesh. The Word of God does not just speak to our ears. But the Word of God speaks to our heart and to our soul. Amen. I'm glad our Lord Jesus Christ is able to open our heart. I thought about how that on that fifth Sunday in June 1974, I'd come in and we'd had revival, as I said, back in December I'd raise my hand as a little 7-year-old boy. I'd raise my hand that I was lost. Nobody recognized it. They didn't say, well, we see that hand, we'll pray for him. They didn't say, you need to come forward. Nothing. I think I could have been saved that day if somebody had spoke to me and give me some instruction, probably. But they didn't. That's fine. God protected me, kept me through that. Amen. And fifth Sunday in June, I felt like that if I walked out of church that day without personally asking somebody to help me, that I was going to fall off into hell. I really felt like that if I stepped off the steps of the church, I'd step into the abyss is the way I felt in my heart. And so that Sunday morning, I made my way down. It wasn't the invitation time. I was going around shake hands with a family that had joined the church. And I went by and took the preacher's hand and I said, preacher, could you tell me how to be saved? That Sunday morning in Sunday school, God had been dealing with me. And as the old saying is, raking me over the coals. I'm glad God had been open in the book to me. But that day he opened my heart and he let the good seed fall in some good soil that it might bring forth a harvest for the glory and the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad he's still able to do that. He's able to do that with little boys and girls in the house of God. He's able to do that with older men and women in the house of God. He's even able to do that to people listening over the radio. If they hear the word of God and the Spirit of God is dealing with them, they can be saved by the grace of God. That opening of the heart. Amen. It's not you getting saved just when you get ready to. It's not you saying, well, I think I'll join the church today. I believe I'll just get saved. I just believe I'll get in. It don't work that way. He's got to open the book. He's got to open your eyes. And he's got to open the heart. Amen. Put the seed in there. Thank God he will. I say this and I'll get ready to move on. As Christians, we ought to be praying that every time the book is opened, every time the Word of God is preached, that there'd be some hearts opened. That God would allow the good seed to fall into some good soil. Amen. They could be helped by the Word of God. Now, go backwards. This is the one I got out of order, Acts 14. And you'll see, I think, why that I put it here, maybe. But this is interesting to me. Acts 14 and verse number 27, the next to last verse. Now, Paul and Barnabas have made their missionary tour. They've gone back to Antioch. They're sending church. They're now presenting to them. They're now, what's the word I'm looking for? Reporting to them what has happened and what has taken place on their missionary journey. They told of their journeys. They told of their persecutions. And they told of their successes. And here's one of them. They said, look at verse 26 or 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how that He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Hallelujah. That's me and you. Amen. Not just the Jews can get in now, not just God's chosen people, but whosoever will, amen, can get in by the good grace of God. Because God opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. Who's the He? I believe he's talking about the Lord Jesus Himself. Amen. Amen. The amazing thing they pointed out is that God opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now that was a point of curiosity to the whole church at Antioch. They wasn't sure about that. It was such a point of curiosity that chapter 15, they go back to Jerusalem, not because Jerusalem had authority over them, but that was the first church. They go back there where the apostles are and they rehearse it. And personally, and you can read it in your own, but you can read, you'll see that Paul tells about what happened. Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter told about his own experience, how he'd seen that blanket let down, how that he'd seen Cornelius and his crowd get in and get saved because he did have the keys. He opened the key not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. But Peter was not the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Jews. Amen. And then I personally believe James is the one that settled it all. I believe James was the pastor. I believe that's the way that things are worked out in a church discussion. Amen. Amen. James listened to the sides and then the announcement was made and said, all right, this is what we're going to do. And they sent out the word that they were going to see and could see clearly that God, as we said, God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. It was not Peter prizing the door open, nor Paul prizing the door open, nor Gentiles prizing the door open. We could never do that. Amen. If God shuts the door, it's shut and no man can open it. But if God opens it, thank God it's open and no man can shut it. Hallelujah. Amen. God opened the door to the Gentiles. That's something you and I can rejoice in because we're Gentiles. Amen. Amen. This ought to be a point of thanksgiving for us. Amen. And a point of rejoicing in our God that He reached beyond the tiny country of Israel. Amen. He reached beyond that set group, the sentinel race of the Jews. And He reached literally around the world and will save whosoever will. He'll save to the uttermost. Amen. Thank God for that offering of grace. He opened the door of faith. And I'll say of salvation to the Gentiles. Number 6 we find in the book of Revelation. And if these are in order, as I said they are, then number 7 must be in the book of Revelation 2. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. You'll know before I get there what I'm looking at, I'm sure. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. John, held captive, cast out on the Isle of Patmos. He saw this great vision. He gave the 7 letters to the 7 churches of Asia. And after the end of that last letter, I believe it's synonymous with the end of the church age, if I could say it that way. After this, verse 1, chapter 4. After God finishes working on His church, He's going to turn back to Israel. He's going to call the church out. After this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. This is a door that will be opened. One day He will open the door of heaven and call the saved up to be with Him. Amen. One day we're going to hear the trumpet sound. Hallelujah. And one day the saved on earth will no longer be on earth. Amen. We'll head out to be in glory with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. That great chapter on the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me show you a verse. I'm sure you know, but it ties in here. There's going to be a great day, amen, a great day, a great opening when Jesus opens the door of heaven and calls the saved up to glory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, amen. We shall be changed. Thank God we're going to laying this old body down and picking up a glorified body, a body like unto the Son of God. And I'll say, what a day that will be. Amen. Turn on over to 1 Thessalonians. You know we'd look at this. 1 Thessalonians deals with the second coming. Chapter 4, verses 16 down through 18. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Every one of these verses deals with the trump. Amen. The trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. One of these days Jesus is going to open the door of heaven and call all the saints home to be with Him. Amen. We'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Last of all, Revelation chapter number 20. There towards the end, Revelation chapter 20. You remember there's a great white throne judgment. He sees this in verse number 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. There's another opening. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here's the final opening. After this, it's shut. And there'll be no more openings. I'm glad Jesus opened His mouth. I'm glad Jesus opened the book. I'm glad Jesus opened the Scriptures and opened eyes when He opened the Scriptures. I'm glad Jesus opened hearts. I'm glad Jesus opened the door of faith, the door of salvation to the Gentiles. I'm glad that one of these days Jesus will open the door in heaven and call the saints up. But there's some people not going up when the trumpet sounds. The dead in Christ shall rise first. But what about the dead not in Christ? They've got a resurrection, but it's not at the same time. It's not a resurrection unto salvation. It's a resurrection unto damnation. That's found here in Revelation chapter 20. The dead, small and great, going to stand before God. These are those unsaved. Every person in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, there's not one person there whose name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's not a person there that's saved. They're all lost. They're all lost. Of all the openings of our Lord Jesus Christ, this one's not joyful. This one will be sorrowful because of those people standing there at the great white throne judgment. There'll be people who are not saved. Amen. These are people who were never born again. Perhaps they never heard. Perhaps they heard and never heeded. Perhaps they thought they intended on coming to Christ at a more convenient season. And they never found that convenient opportunity. For whatever the reason, these will be people who lived and died and never were saved by the grace of God. Amen. They never came to know Christ in the free pardon. So this is not people that knew it and lost it, because that don't happen. These are people that never were saved. He'll be able to say, I never knew you. Your name was not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name was not recorded there. But their names are in some book, and their deeds are in some book. Amen. I better back up. I'm not sure if their names are. Because we know about the rich man and his deeds, but we don't know his name. His name was not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he died in his sins and went to hell, and we don't know his name. The book of Psalms, I believe it is either Psalms or Proverbs, but I'm pretty sure it's Psalms, says the name of the wicked shall rot. Their name will be forgotten. In hell, you won't be a person of identity. You'll just be a person of agony. You'll just be a person, just a captive, just a prisoner in those charred walls of hell for eternity. Amen. But their deeds are recorded. And the books are opened to tell about their deeds. Amen. The books are opened and they're judged, the Bible says, according to their works. Is that to see if their works, their good works, outweigh their bad works? No. Because none of these folks are going to heaven. None of them. None of them. They're all lost. So why are they being judged for their works? Well, it's not to see who can be allowed to heaven, because none of them is going to gain entrance to heaven. I believe, personally, that they're judged according to their works to see the degree of punishment that they'll receive in eternity. Amen. They're going to be punished there forever and ever. There'll be no rejoicing in that day. I thought about this. There probably will be some repenting, but it'll be too late. There probably will be some crying out for mercy, but there'll be no mercy on that day because it's too late. There probably will be many tears on that day, many groans of remorse, many pleas for another chance. All too late, because the books are going to be opened. Amen. Can I say to you that the day of the rapture is sure to come? I don't know what day that will be, and neither do you, neither does anybody else. If somebody comes up and says that they know the day the Lord's coming, mark her down something you know about them. They're lying. Jesus said He didn't even know. Said the Father only knows. Amen. Amen. It's not given unto us. It's not that Jesus couldn't know. It's that He chose to leave that with the Father. It's in the Father's will. Amen. No use us trying to figure it out. We'll just say that day's coming. Our Lord is coming to rapture the saved. But there's also coming a day of judgment for those that are lost. Today, if you're not saved, you ought to call on the Lord. You ought to ask God to open the Scriptures to you. You ought to ask the Lord to open His mouth to you. You ought to ask the Lord to open your eyes and to open your heart, to open the door of salvation, to open the door of faith, that you can get in and come to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I mentioned a song this morning, ended with a song by Philip P. Bliss. Tonight I'm going to talk about a song by Will L. Thompson. And I've used this song in sermons before, especially in invitation time. But in 1886, Will L. Thompson wrote a song entitled, "There's a Great Day Coming." Now, I wrote the song out. I'm going to read you all three verses in the chorus. "There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord." That's talking about the rapture. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? The last verse, "There's a sad day coming."
That's right.
"A sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know you not." Are you ready for that day to come? Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a day coming. Thank God for the things Jesus opened. But there's one of them that's not going to be happy. Are you ready? I'm glad that in that great white throne judgment, I'll be on the winning side. I won't be in the judgment side. My grandparents, mom's family, used to sing a song. They'd sing "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder." And in the chorus, they'd be singing it in a round. And they'd be singing, "I'll be shouting around the great white throne. I'll be shouting around the great white throne. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Amen. I won't be judged at the great white throne. I'll be shouting because my sins have been judged on Christ, on Calvary. I've been saved by the grace of God. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the privilege to preach and think on these things that Jesus has opened. Lord, I pray You'd take these thoughts. Lord, I pray You'd open some hearts. I pray You'd open some minds and some eyes and let them see. And Father, I pray You'd open the door of salvation that sinners might come in and find Christ ready to save. Lord, I believe that You sent the message. I pray You'd use the message. And whether or not we see it today, I pray that You'll work in hearts again and again until we do see the benefit of the preaching, the benefit of the pleading, the benefit of the Word of God. Have Your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, would you obey the Lord?
167.
167. While we sing, would you come?